Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm your host, joined by Rod Babers, former Longhorn, local radio host in Austin, Texas, and on 104.9, The Horn, also former NFL player as well. Rod, Longhorns win 38-20, beat West Virginia. I tell you what, the Horns jumped out in front and never looked back tonight.
Yeah, great way to bounce back, obviously, from a very disappointing loss versus Tech. They had the players-only meeting this week. You know how that goes, all right? I think they just wanted to make sure that things didn't go off the rails. But I love the way the team responded. And, you know, some of the things that had plagued the this team in the last couple of weeks, I think they did find a remedy for. They got off the field on third down, on money downs early in the game. Of course, later on in the game, JT Daniels and West Virginia made some plays. But by then, not going to say the game was out of hand, but Texas was in command of the game. I will say that. There was no point, honestly, after Texas got up two touchdowns where I ever thought that West Virginia was a real threat to Texas. And I'll give Texas a lot of credit for that. They seemed to keep their foot on the throat for most of the night.
Yeah, I tell you what, they gave up two long drives in the second half. I think that you'd like to see them. They had multiple opportunities to get off the field there, but did not. But this wasn't a perfect game. Nobody's saying it was. But Texas gets on the right side of the win column. This was a game Texas could ill afford to lose, and you just didn't know what kind of Texas team you would get. I thought that Hudson Card, as we see here, played his best game as a Longhorn. I think that's fair. One of the reasons why I felt like is Steve Sarkisian really relied on the short passing game to get Card going and loosen up the box a little bit and allow Hudson Card to get going. Let's look at the stats real quick. Card finishes 21 of 27 for 303 yards, three touchdowns. We're going to talk to Tommy Yarish. He's on site at DKR right now here in a little bit about Hudson and what he saw from the atmosphere. Before we go into these stats, though, and before I ask Rod a couple of other questions, postgame show is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Austin and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. If you're moving within the city of Austin, Laura would be your person, or if you're wanting to buy a second home in the capital city. Hey, Rod, look at these stats. Obviously, Bijan did not get that many carries until the game was out of reach and they tried to ice it, and Texas was able to ice it. That was nice to see. But I think probably the most important stat, six of the first eight drives Texas had ended in points. That's pretty impressive for the Longhorns. And getting on top of teams like they did against West Virginia and scoring touchdowns and not field goals helped put this out of reach.
And another trend you pointed out, Bobby, just when you and I were texting, was that the defense in the last three games had given up early scores on long scoring drives, right, to UTSA, to Alabama, and then also to Tech. And in this game, on those first initial drives, those first two drives of the game where Texas early on had been giving up scores and then kind of forced into a position where they're unable to get on top of an opponent early, the defense actually showed up. And those money downs we talk about, right, third and fourth down, that's what Sark said specifically they were going to work on. He said, man, we worked on money downs, third and fourth down. I believe that West Virginia started 2 of 7. On third downs in the game. And by then, by the time they did find a rhythm of some kind, Texas was already up. They were up by, three scores at that point. And obviously that's not enough for Texas, because we've seen Texas actually collapse even after being up, double digits and being up 2-3 scores. But still, at that point, it did seem like the Texas defense came out with a more aggressive game plan. I got to go look at the stats and see how much they blitzed JT Daniels. I'm not sure they blitzed him more than they blitzed Donovan Smith, but I think the timing of the blitzes, go look at them. At least on third down, I saw a lot more aggressive play calling, getting after JT Daniels a lot more aggressively than they got after Donovan Smith. I think it paid off tremendously.
I think that JT Daniels clearly could not really control the pocket. The interior pass rush of the Longhorns was really good tonight. Keandre Coburn had a great one in the first half, I thought. Then Tavondre Sweat. I'm not sure how to handle this at all, but that roughing the passer call was...
It's a new era, Bobby. It's a new era of football, Bobby. You got to get used to it, man.
I don't like it. I want to say this before we go any further, though. That reminded me of something I wanted to say almost at the outset. Really thinking about C.J. Donaldson right now. The young man from West Virginia, unfortunately, went and left the field of play, was immobilized. The running back for West Virginia, true freshman out of Miami, immobilized after a third and one or third and two. It looked like just a regular old play in the middle of a scrum, but apparently he knocked his head. And while the announcers said he was knocked out cold, they ended up immobilizing him, and I never saw his legs move during that period of time. And I know somebody said that they saw a thumb put up, but I couldn't tell if that was a true one or if someone was helping him with it. Anyways, everybody in Austin is thinking about him and around Texas Nation right now, because that young man played hard and played fair, and it's tough to see something like that happen. It really, really is. That's just one of those things that happens in football, but we all care about. Rod, overwhelming takeaways for the Longhorns tonight. Really, really strong first half from Hudson Card.
Yeah, I mean, Hudson Card, that's the best game we've seen him play. And, you know, strangely enough, the running game was largely neutralized by West Virginia. They did a decent job of the game. And Texas didn't really need the running game after they had gotten on top of West Virginia. One thing I love is Sark's confidence in Hudson Card. All right, go look at the first down pass rate. I haven't tracked it just yet because I haven't done the math on it with the game being done. But I know early on, they were throwing the ball on first down. Throwing early on, trying to, you know, break tendency. I'm sure West Virginia came into the game thinking, are they going to run the ball early on, try to stop the run? No, Texas threw the ball. A lot of confidence in Hudson Card and the deep ball. Hudson Card finally got finding a rhythm with the deep ball, something he struggled with. So I think Sark really opened up the playbook for Hudson Card. He was criticized for the second half versus Texas Tech that he didn't have confidence in Hudson Card to open up the playbook, let him make some of those throws. And I think he got into a rhythm early on, right? Some short, high percentage throws, screen game. And then once Hudson Card found his rhythm, you saw him making plays in the pocket, buying time, making nice. The one he got to Jordan Whittington, that was, you know, the little drop in the bucket right over the defensive back. That was, and he bought some time. That might have been one of the nicest plays I've seen Hudson Card make on a football field. It was beautiful.
I thought he did that. I thought the first touchdown to Worthy, he stood in and took a hit and still delivered the ball right out. Right when Worthy made his break, too. They showed the all 22 on that. And you could tell he threw it right when he made his break in the face of pressure. That was a... look, Hudson Card is getting better. Period. Yes, is he Quinn Ewers from an athletic or arm talent standpoint, or at least from an arm talent standpoint? Probably not. But he is getting better. He's now 2-1 as a starter at Texas. We'll have to wait and see how the rest of this goes, but and what happens next week with Quinn Ewers and whether or not he's back in time for Oklahoma. We would assume so, but it's still very, very early. Rod, I want to go to Tommy Yarish right now. Bring in Tommy. He's at DKR. Tommy, give us the feel of what it was like in DKR tonight, the atmosphere.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Rod. Good to be with you guys. I'm here with all of our good friends, TJ Ford in the Hall of Honor. 100,000 plus again. That's the third game in a row, 100,000 plus here for the fans of DKR. Saw it start to fill up a little bit more closer to kickoff, and they were just as loud, man. It was a really great atmosphere. They're really behind their guys, even especially after such a disappointing loss last week. This crowd was really rallying behind them, and you could tell that it was paying off in the first half, made things difficult for the West Virginia defense, or West Virginia offense, excuse me. The Texas defense played really well today.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about is the crowd getting involved, and really in one of the very first possessions, there was a illegal procedure penalty for West Virginia that is just another one of those things that helped the Longhorns win. Tommy, what was your take on Hudson Card early in the game, really setting the stage for the Longhorns?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say this is one of, if not maybe the best game we've seen Hudson Card play in a Texas uniform. 303 yards and 3 touchdowns for Hudson tonight. Just really solid, especially in the first half. Had a couple of throws that I think he would have liked to have back. The one that really sticks out to me is he had Xavier Worthy wide open down the seam in the middle of the field. That would have made it easily 4 touchdowns, but then Xavier comes back and throws a touchdown pass of his own. But really solid stuff from Card tonight. I think the one thing I was looking for Hudson today was better ball placement. We saw him struggle a little bit with that throughout his career, and he was really on the money a lot tonight. He made some good down the sideline throws to guys like Jordan Whittington and JT Sanders. I love seeing the involvement of JT Sanders. They love to slip him out into the flat, get some runners in front of him, blockers in front of him, excuse me. That's easy yardage with a guy like JT. He's just so athletic and so quick that he makes it look really easy.
Tommy, I appreciate you, man. We'll get back to you here in a little bit and have more from you from DKR. That's Tommy Yerish of On Texas Football and Inside Texas. We appreciate it, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Rod, I got to say this. Tommy's going to be a pro one day, isn't he?
Oh, no doubt, man. Tommy does good stuff. He knows how to throw in the humor. All right. Puts you with a little punchline, a little one-liner. Keeps it going. I'm a big fan. Already a fan. No question.
Hey, a couple of things I want to go to. Offensive player of the game, I think we go with Hudson Card. You agree?
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you just really love Xavier Worthy, I guess maybe you could do that. But Hudson Cards, like I said, there's so many great plays I can think of. You just brought up the one where he gets hit and he throws a touchdown to X-Man. I love that Jay Witt play. We buy some time, throws it right over, just a drop in the bucket. And Tommy brought up another play, too, where he was able to make a play and, buy some time and throw it to JT Sanders on the sideline and let him get those yak yards. He really did. I mean, he's growing and getting better. I think a lot of Longhorn fans are enjoying his growth and development. I love the fact that last year the narrative about Hudson Card was, he didn't have that dog in him. He didn't have the natural leadership, and, the guys wouldn't follow him. And now the narrative that he shifted, and by the way, changed my mind about it too, that now he's a guy that can lead this team. That can also now prove that even when you're not a balanced offensive attack, when your running game is the lifeblood of the offense, he can go out there and make some throws and go win your game. That's what he did today. I mean, this is a game plan built around Hudson Card, more so than Bijan Robinson or the running game, which is a surprise to me, and I think it was a surprise to West Virginia too.
Yeah, I think it's the first time. I agree with you. It's the first time that we saw Sark really try to get the ball quick outside throughout the entire game almost. Yep. Like he's gone away from that in the second half and tried to lean on Bijan as the team's best player, and the holes just aren't there unless you keep going outside a little bit, because this Texas run team or the offensive line is not dominating enough. But again, Card finishes 21 of 27 for 303 yards and 3 touchdowns. I tell you another one you could have given the offensive player of the game to. How about JT Sanders, Rod? A tremendous game from Sanders. Caught a couple of quick, easy ones early to get the chains moving. Made a nice catch on that double pass from Worthy. And then, man, he made a nice move on that DB and kind of left him flat-footed on the little slant to the back of the end zone and provided a big target there for Hudson Card. You look at what happened today. Sanders 5 of 78. That's a lot for a tight end, bud.
Yeah, it is. And Sark is a guy that said publicly that the tight end position is the second most important position in his offense behind the quarterback. A lot of Longhorn fans would beg to disagree with that because you don't really see the production. This is the best game we've seen from JT Sanders since that ULM game, and now you've seen him being used as a vertical threat downfield. Yes. He's been used as a safety blanket, and you can use him in the screen games. Great in yak yards, but I love when he's a vertical threat. When they're working him down the seam, or you see him working those long, deep crossing routes, he's a guy that can really be a difference maker, an impact player in the passing game. He's an instant mismatch. I mean, who can match up with JT Sanders unless you're putting a DB on him? And for most DBs, he's a little bit too big and too physical for the DBs, especially in the red zone. It's a red zone nightmare.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rod, Texas winning 38-20. If you're just joining us, big win tonight for the Longhorns. They needed it. It was a team in search of reassurance, almost a fan base at some level in search of reassurance after a tough loss in Lubbock. It was one of those losses last week that was, it felt too much like deja vu. And I tell you what, Longhorns came out. Steve Sarkisian, I think, give him credit. Creative with the game plan, switched things up, made Texas not one-dimensional in the second half, and even particularly in the first half, had some creative ways to get the ball out. Hudson Card did a really nice job with some option routes, hitting the second option. Sometimes it's just the short one. I like what they did overall. And then in the fourth quarter, I thought Hudson Card played well again, even though he wasn't, you know, unbeatable or anything. He had a 3rd-and-7 scramble that for about 15, 20 yards. And at that point, the game was out of reach. And not that I thought West Virginia was coming back at that point, but I felt like, hey, this was Hudson Card's night. He just put it on ice.
Yeah, everything for West Virginia was hard, right? On defense, it seems like for Texas, defense, they made life really tough and difficult on JT Daniels, on West Virginia. I didn't love the West Virginia game plan, but they did actually make some adjustments late that they were able to have some success with. But, man, it was tough for them. It was tough sledding. And by then, the game was out of reach. At no point during the game did I feel that, West Virginia was a real threat to come back and, pull a late game comeback win against Texas. I thought Texas was in control of the game. And I think Steve Sarkisian, even though, I think I'm not sure if I've been able to track it yet and see exactly how conservative he got in the second half. But I think he had that deep ball in the second half to Xavier Worthy. I think, any time that the game was somewhat competitive, I think Steve Sarkisian called a really good game. I think he put his team in a really good position all throughout the game to make sure they had control of the game, but also that they were able to operate in an efficient and effective way.
All right, I want to go back to Tommy Yarish here. Tommy's at DKR for us. One of the other keys on defense for the Longhorns is what I want to talk about next, and that's the run defense for the Longhorns. It was solid pretty much all night. Tommy, what were your thoughts on the run defense for the Longhorns?
Yeah, I want to touch on run defense. They held West Virginia to 61 yards on the ground. Just really impressive stuff, especially considering, how teams like Texas Tech ran against them last week. Donovan Smith in the backfield had a couple nice rushes. But this time, the Longhorns really looked great, and especially around the edges. West Virginia tried to stretch that line of scrimmage out earlier on, in the earlier downs on their drives, trying to get it out into the flat, maybe try to bounce around to the outside on a run. And Texas was all over it. They were flying to the ball. Guys like Jalen Ford, DeMarvion Overshown, even some of the defensive linemen getting off of their stance a little bit away from the line, going out to make some big tackles. So certainly the run defense said a little bit to me. One thing I'd like to see a little bit of improvement on would be the pass defense. And I think that I speak for all Longhorn fans. We say that another 230 plus yards, I think, through the air for JT Daniels. And a lot of that came later in the second half when it seemed like the defense just kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit and just got a little too comfortable. And certainly you have to sharpen that up heading into such a big rivalry game like Oklahoma next week.
Tommy, you're not able to see this, but Matt, our producer, has put up on the screen. CJ Donaldson, the West Virginia running back, is alert, stable, and has movement in his extremities. He is awaiting further testing. That's great news. Great news. What describe that scene for those that weren't in the stadium tonight?
Silence. It was just pure silence. I didn't really get a good angle I was sitting more in the north end zone, so I couldn't really see what happened. But you could tell that it was definitely, you know, not a very great injury, and no injury is good. But this one, especially with him being carted off, looked like he had a bit of a neck brace on as he was being carted out. Both teams going out to go salute him off the field and make sure that they, you know, got to see him before he was carted off. His West Virginia teammates and Neil Brown were huddled around him the entire time. And then Steve Sarkisian brought up sort of a team prayer to the side as he was being taken care of by the medical staff. But really great news to hear on CJ, just because I talked about this with Ian earlier in our preview show earlier this week, how great of an athlete was as he is as a true freshman, converted from a tight end wide receiver in high school to play running back at West Virginia. And he had 326 yards and 6 touchdowns, the leading rusher for the Mountaineers coming into this game. So obviously hope the best for him. And he gave a thumbs up while he was going off the field. Really good news to hear that he's got movement in his extremities, and hope he gets back on the field soon. But more than anything, hope he gets better soon.
All right, Tommy Yarish reporting for Inside Texas and On Texas Football. Thanks, Tommy. You guys have a good night, and enjoy the victory as a Longhorn tonight, bud.
All right, you guys take care. Thanks for having me.
All right, you have a good one, bud. All right, that's Tommy Yarish. Tommy does some work for us for Inside Texas and On Texas Football. Rod, we talked a little bit about defense there, okay? What do you think is Tommy talked about the defensive line and how well they did in run stop tonight. Your defensive player of the game, given that?
Man, it's actually pretty tough to just give it to one particular player. I don't know if one guy had a number of standout plays. I do remember, you know, Darren Sorrell had a sack. I think Ojimo had a sack as well coming back. I like the way the D-line is played. Hell, man, I could probably give it to the D-line considering they put pressure on JT Daniels and also were able to stop the run pretty consistently all game long. So maybe I'll just give it to the D-line. Maybe I'll just give it to the whole D-line. That's what I'll do. They played really well. They did. I know it's a cop-out. But I will say that I don't have the stats in front of me, but I don't remember one guy having a number of standout plays, just one guy having a top standout plays on the. So, but I like the way the D-line played, though. I think they had a lot of guys make some plays. Jalen Ford, I see, led the team in tackles again, but he's a tackling machine. It seems to be, I mean, is this his second or third game that he's been the leading tackler for the team?
I think it's his fourth consecutive game
being the leading tackler. Yeah, yep. Honestly, that's really impressive, man, for Jalen Ford. It really is. I did not realize he'd been that productive for 4 straight games. Seems to be getting better and better every game, too, more and more comfortable.
After getting 0 tackles against Louisiana Monroe, Rod.
He missed three versus ULM. Well, he was at least Pro Football Focus said he missed 3.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't make a tackle. Not only did he miss tackles, he didn't make a tackle in the entire first game of the season, yet now comes back and I think for 4 consecutive weeks has led the team in tackles. Jaron Thompson with 10, DeMarvian Overshone, I thought, played really well, provided some pressure, made a play down the line of scrimmage that kind of flashed to me as well. I would probably, if I'm really talking about it, though, I'm either giving it to Jalen Ford or Byron Murphy. Murphy, I thought, was a beast in the middle. And really lock some people down. Let's do this. What time is it, Rod?
It is 10:21.
Oh, and what happens at 10:20? Let's talk about next week. 10:21.
Sorry, I wasn't focused. I apologize. Let's focus on next week. It is 10:21 and OU still sucks. My bad.
I caught you off guard on that.
You got me. See, I was focused on West Virginia. So I was like, oh, it's 10:21.
I moved it pretty quick there. Hey, dude, as we think about it right now, you watched OU. You and I talked a little bit before we went on the air tonight. Dylan Gabriel out, it looks like, we think he's going to be out. It appeared that he got a concussion against TCU early. That's the starting quarterback. OU did not look good on defense in particular against TCU. TCU really spread them out and delivered the ball downfield a lot, and then were able to also effectively run against a Sooners front that they just don't look as talented, or not talented, they just don't look as good as they have in years past. And, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But what were your thoughts of watching Texas tonight and then OU earlier today, and how Texas maybe matches up for the Red River Shootout this coming weekend?
They're obviously, you know, going to be, you know, potentially without a certain quarterback, Dylan Gabriel. I think that's the biggest storyline. Now, we don't know that for sure, but he did have a head injury. And I think with the national dialogue, right, the discourse happening right now with the Tua situation and player safety and head trauma, I don't see them taking that kind of chance. But like I said, there's a concussion protocol. We'll have to wait to see. But the defense has been an issue in back-to-back weeks for them. Adrian Martinez exposed that defense. Now Max Duggan jumping the purple kryptonite in back-to-back weeks for Oklahoma. That's going to be a problem for them if they don't correct some of those mistakes. And you're right, it's the rush defense is a problem for them, but also their pass defense. They're giving us some deep balls vertically downfield. Texas was able to take advantage of that last year against Oklahoma early on. And you saw the way they stretched the field vertically versus West Virginia tonight. I think that's something that Texas can take advantage of. And we'll see if Texas can have as good a start as they had last year in the Texas OU game. They just got to finish better. And that's what this team's been working on. All right. They're all about finishing and closing better. And I think that's going to be, for Sark, that's going to be his rallying cry. We got to finish. We got to close.
So OU, for the first time, I think, in a couple of decades, has lost back-to-back conference games.
It's the second time since 1999 lose back-to-back games. Second time in 99.
That's amazing. That's good. They've been on a heck of a roll. And Brent Venables has got a tough road to hoe now going into Red River with his backup quarterback and on a two-game losing streak. You mentioned purple kryptonite. I think,
real man,
for whatever reason, I think of losing two in a row is like they lost to Kansas State, obviously, and then TCU. They drank the purple drink, you know. And next week it's time for the burnt orange drink. we'll see if that works out. Rod, looking at overall, I thought that this was such an important game for the Longhorns.
Huge.
Because if they lose this game, they have no confidence going into OU. And, you know, this was a game on paper. They were favored by 10, but it didn't feel like they should have been favored by 10 because, you know, they were only a couple plays away. I don't want to paint a negative picture. They were only a couple of ways from beating both Alabama and Texas Tech. But we both know that a couple of plays – is actually a big thing in football because you have to make the plays to win, right?
Exactly.
And so you look at this game where they came out and I really felt like they dominated from the get-go. Just such a good performance overall. Where do you think this team stands right now, five games into the season?
I think they're in a good place. We've seen them battle adversity. What I love about the season is their biggest issue last year was they would face adversity and we would see them all – too often, right, collapse in the face of it, all right, collapse on themselves like a dying star. It would just take four quarters to do it. This is a team so far this year in a lot of different ways, backup quarterback, losing in Lubbock already. You can talk about the injuries that they've had, different things. They faced adversity in a number of ways already, and we've seen them bounce back. I like the resilience of the football character of this team. I liked where the coach was going. They got a long way to go. They got a lot of work to do, but you can tell this is obviously not the team that it was last year. That's what I think they had to prove to Longhorn fans. And we saw a little bit of deja vu last game versus Texas Tech and them losing in the same manner they lost in last year. So Longhorn fans had a little PTSD, but I think they were out after the players meeting out to prove, no, this is not last year's team. This is a different team. And I think they showed a lot of fortitude, showed a lot of grit coming out here and beating the West Virginia team, by the way, I thought was a good team. I didn't think Texas would come out and get up four touchdowns on them. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought they'd win the game, but that shows you Texas wanted to come out and make a statement. I thought they did.
Yeah, I thought they did too.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, look, Texas needs to find a way to keep this going. Period. End of story. They came out strong and stayed strong, scored on the first possession of the second half, I thought was huge, because the third quarter is when Texas is let down in past games. That was different. Then either the next drive or the one after that, they went down and scored another field goal. Those sorts of things matter. I think that those are blueprints for Texas in the future. If you're just joining us, Texas beating West Virginia 38 to 20 on the night. This is the drive chart, Rod. I want you to look at it. Tell me what you think. That first drive Texas got, it came sack by Hudson. Hudson Card was sacked, put an end to that drive. But the next five times they had full possessions, Texas scored touchdowns.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that fast start for the defense was the key. We've seen the fast start from the offense before. That's not shocking. That's not surprising at all. I think the fast start from the defense being able to get off the field after the troubling performance for them on money down, specifically fourth down versus Tech, that really was the key, Bobby. That was the key. And I'll go back and watch it and track it, but I just specifically remember them being very aggressive on those third downs early on. And you said it, you know, while we were texting, it didn't fit Texas' formula to win, to try to play, you know, complementary football. If the defense was going to give up early scores and then the offense was going to score early, and then we would get the second half either collapse or the conservative second half from the offense, that was going to lead to a lot of losing. That was a bad formula for Texas. What you needed was to go along with the quick start for Texas. You also needed the quick start from the defense to give you more of a cushion, essentially going into the second half, and then better adjustments. And I think we got that, at least that, the better start from the defense. That was a sound start from the defense. They also made some bad plays later on in the game, which we can get to, the pass interferences, you know, guys being out of position at times. That did happen. But early on in the game, you can tell they came out with a specific purpose, and that was to make sure they got off the field. G-O-T-F, get off the field. And they did early on.
Yeah. Hey, Rod, question for you. You feel like they were active on defense, swarming to the ball?
I did. I think you can see it too. I mean, they were active swarming to the ball. That's why I didn't track the missed tackles yet, but I mean, there was not a lot of yak yards after guys were able to either shed a tackle or get some space. I mean, those guys really did, as Sark says, I guess, populate to the football. That's the Sark term. Populates the football.
I feel like they're starting to tackle to the ground a little bit. You know what I mean by that? That helps whenever you have more than one person on top of you, right? There was a couple times where a guy broke a tackle, but people were right there behind him. I felt like they set up this game to stop the run and designed it, and we're going to take some risks on third downs. They did. I don't know a single time Texas didn't rush at least five.
They blitzed on third down a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Played the star position off and got beat on back-to-back slants on opposite sides too. I don't know if you noticed that in the second half. That's going to be a tendency that other teams try to take advantage of as they move forward this year.
Yeah, and they dropped some too, Bobby. They probably dropped 2-3 crucial passes. That's on third down. They could have kept drives alive for them. And they wanted to also attack where those linebackers were. That's the purpose of those slant routes. They just couldn't connect on enough of them. They dropped too many of them. You saw some of those crossers, too, that were open at times as well. They had the right idea. They just weren't aggressive. And I tell you, West Virginia was flat. They were flat. They seen whether it was Texas that took them out of the game early or whether they just didn't have the juice. They seemed a little flat early. They just didn't have enough. And I think, and you know what, you talked about this last week, right? If Texas would have stopped Tech on those early fourth downs, would Tech have kept going for it? Now, probably would have kept going for it. But if you stop them early, then it probably would have changed the tone because they're not 6 of 8. They're probably 4 of 8, and you may end up winning that game. Texas success early on, I do think, changed. Because we went for it on fourth down early, too. They had a fourth down. They went for it early on. They didn't make it. I think that changed Neil Brown's tone, and it really hurt kind of the overall, overall confidence, I think, of that offense and the way they functioned. It really did. If they would have had an early drive and success early, I think it may have changed the entire mood, if you will, of that sideline for West Virginia.
Let me ask you this, Rod. I completely agree with you. I mean, Texas has to – if they're going to be first-half scoring team, they need points and they need the other team not to score as many, right? Yep. That's what Sark wants to do. And so they need to take more chances in the first half. But let me ask you this as we think about it. Is there anything else they can do on third down other than just simply blitz? I know that sounds rudimentary and kind of basic, but it feels like they're still playing. You have to play off a little bit in blitz so you don't lose, so you don't give up 7 points, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. But it felt like they probably defended in zone, particularly the linebackers, a little tighter tonight. Did you feel that at all?
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. It seemed like the windows were smaller.
Yeah.
To throw the football through. So I'm with you. Now I'll go back and check it out, but I felt that as well. And I think if you want, first of all, yes, blitz, because you got to be more aggressive. But you can also have simulated pressures where you actually aren't blitzing, but you're creating the illusion of pressure. What some of my coaches used to call ghost fronts, where you put, you know, a lot of guys up at the line of scrimmage, some guys in a 2-point stance, some guys in a 3-point stance, and last minute, maybe you rush 4, maybe you rush 5, maybe you rush 3 and drop the rest of them. So you can do a lot of different things in terms of trying to deceive the quarterback. But ultimately, you do need to try to be aggressive. So the static looks on third down, and while PK likes to bend but don't break defenses, that's not going to get it on third down. Third down is the down to get aggressive. That is the down to try to play with the pre-snap looks of the quarterback. And I like to blitz. And even if you're not blitzing, I like to bring guys from the back seven and maybe, you know, drop out a defensive end and do a zone blitz or, a simulated pressure. I want to have something that creates confusion and creates chaos on third down, because that ultimately will benefit the defense more than it benefits the offense. Offense work on precision. They work on timing, execution. You create chaos, they hate that. That's their worst nightmare. And I think on third down, you need to try to create more chaos. Disrupt the wide receivers, throw off that timing, bump and run those guys, and get after the quarterback as much as you can. So, yeah, you can do more than blitzing, but yeah, blitzing is probably where it starts for me. More of that on third down.
I want to say this, if you're just joining us and hadn't heard yet, CJ Donaldson, the running back that went off the field, was immobilized. They are saying in post game that he is, his extremities are moving. He's able to move them. So that means it's probably, hopefully, just a severe bruise to the spinal cord, and or he got knocked out at some point and was concussed. So we certainly hope the very best for that young man. Rod, I want to say another thing for you to think about here. Just how important that the Texas fan base was tonight. Tommy mentioned it when he came in. Three consecutive, I think that's three consecutive crowds over 100,000.
Yeah.
That's Texas is, I know it's for so long, and you and I've been covering this a long time. Texas hasn't always had what would be considered a home field advantage. Fans would come in late in the first quarter, especially at 11 o'clock games, right?
Yep.
Fans would not necessarily be rowdy, et cetera. But I really think that the move by Chris Del Conte to make tickets first come, first serve for students changed the whole atmosphere in the pregame. It is a more involved fan base now earlier in games, as opposed to the entire student section or most of it being half empty at game time.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was actually watching the game and my wife remarked, she was like, is this a student section over here? And I was like, no, it's not. It's just more students are here. So I agree with you. It wasn't the student section. She was like, there's a lot of students over there. But you're right. And I agree with you about what CDC and Drew Martin have done. And I think what is more remarkable is that we know it's coming, but the football program hasn't really given Longhorn fans a return on that emotional investment yet. But Longhorn fans feel it. They know it's coming. They know it's brewing. And I talk to the fans all the time. Man, they got love for Sark. They got love for, you know, what his vision is for the program, right? We don't know if it's going to come to fruition, all right? We all pray and hope it's going to come to fruition, but they like the vision that he has for the program. Listen, I keep going back to, he sold the Manning family on that vision. So they like that vision. I think fans right now, there is a lot of optimism. There's an air of optimism. Longhorn fans believe with Quinn Ewers too, and you know, still with what they saw from him and Bama in the one quarter versus Bama, they saw from Quinn Ewers. Even though you lost the game versus Texas Tech, and that was an abomination, that shouldn't have happened. There's still a lot of optimism. Longhorn fans still really think that this program is going to turn around sooner rather than later, and that's why it's going to be a guy to do it.
I want to say another unsung hero this game. And talk about it, and that's the offensive line play. I thought Texas did a good job in pass protection tonight. West Virginia's got a pretty good defensive front. They can stop the run if they want to, but genuinely, I believe that you look at what Texas did in pass protection, and really, other than that first possession sack of Hudson Card, Texas did a good job of keeping Hudson Card clean in the pocket.
Yeah, and I think Sark, after last season with the offensive line and it being a subpar offensive line with limitations, I think he really honed in his play calling ability and his play designing to be able to mitigate the damage done by a subpar offensive line. That's why a lot of the pre-snap motions and shifts to get the defense going, the misdirection that's kind of baked into the offense, a lot of that does help the pass protection. And I think with this offensive line, considering they're starting two true freshmen, there's no doubt that Kyle Flood's doing a phenomenal job. That's all I'd say. That the scheme also helps, but Kyle Flood's doing a hell of a job. And the truth is, Kelvin Banks is he's a prodigy. I mean, that guy is going to play on Sundays, and he's going to get drafted. The only question is how high. He's a guy that all you need to see him is a few snaps at the highest level. And knowing that he's a freshman, you know that his rate of development, his upside and trajectory are phenomenal. I mean, that helps too. I mean, having that guy to be your building block around the offensive line for the next 3 years is going to be a huge advantage for Texas.
Speaking with Rod Babers, former all-conference cornerback for the Texas Longhorns, had the famous line, nobody catches the ball on my side of the field, not even me.
Not even me. Coach Brown didn't like that line. And I was like, hey, that's the truth. I was just trying to tell the truth. Even back then, Bobby, I was just trying to tell the truth. They didn't want it. Mac Brown said it. Wasn't trying to hear it back then. It was the truth.
Rod, you made a game. I'll say this: you made a game-saving interception against Oklahoma State, where you jumped the corner out. Or you jumped the slant? That was a great
slant. Yeah, man, jumped the slant. He had gotten on the slant a couple of times in the game. Jumped the slant, and my favorite play in the game though wasn't the game-saving interception. I got beat on a deep ball, and Coach Keenan told me so. He's like, "You got beat on a deep touchdown in the game," and I was like, "Oh, Robbie got beat. Got caught slipping out there," and I did. And they went for it on 2 points. They thought they was like, oh, his feelings are hurt. He's still thinking about it. So they went after your boy on the 2-point conversion, Bobby, and I stopped him. I stopped him. It was Rashawn Woods, too, the first round pick. I stopped him on the 2-point conversion. I was like, nah, y'all not gonna get me twice in a row. And Coach Akina, when I came back to the summer, he was like, I knew you was gonna stand there. They tried to get you twice. They thought you was a sucker. I was like, no, man, I stood up. So that was a great game. Battling adversity, baby. battling adversity. Love that game.
So let me ask you this. What your overall take on the secondary? I was trying to segue into it and talk about that because Tommy said this a little bit. He said that the JT Daniels still was able to move the ball down the field. But I felt like much of that was when the game was already kind of decided. And Texas had called, not necessarily called off the dogs, because I felt Texas stayed pretty aggressive throughout the entire game, actually. West Virginia put together a couple of nice drives, and instead of dropping a couple of passes, they caught them, right?
Exactly.
But your point there, Rod, is where do you think this team is from a coverage perspective? DeShawn Jameson, Ryan Watts, Jaron Thompson, Anthony Cook, and, of course, Jahdae Barron.
Yeah, and this is my thing about, DBs. I said everybody's going to get beat. It just happens. You're going to get beat. Man, the game is too evolved. The passing game is too specialized. They got too many cheat codes they're using. What I want for my DBs is I need you to make more plays on the ball than you give up. And I would say now I'm starting to see some guys make plays on the ball. They're getting their hands on balls, not getting the picks like we want the interceptions, but the PBUs. They're breaking up passes, right? So that's what I want to see. That means you have tighter coverage downfield. And I like what I'm seeing from the DBs so far, man. They're competing. I'm not seeing a lot of busted coverages. I mean, what's the last busted coverage you saw from Texas? Have we seen a busted coverage this year? I don't know if we've seen one.
Not one deep.
Not a big play busted. You're right. Yeah, we've probably seen linebackers getting beat because they're out of position, that kind of thing. You're right. I mean, busted coverage meaning for a deep play, explosive play. That means guys at least they're comfortable in the system. They know the system well enough to know that to maintain the structural integrity of the system. Now what you need to see is I need to see guys so comfortable in the system that they're able to go out there and actually make more plays on the football. And I think that's what I'm seeing a little bit more of. Now, the truth is, they dropped some crucial passes on third down, too. They were working Texas on the slants, I think, to try to attack that central core. And that's what people are going to try to go after with Texas. Man, you've got to try to attack that linebacker depth with those crossing routes, with those inside-breaking routes. So if you get a team that catches some of those passes, you could be in trouble. And JT Daniels starts to find his rhythm late. And give Texas credit. They let him find his rhythm early. He was all out of rhythm. He was erratic early in the game. Ball placement was off. But remember, later on in the game, he started putting the ball on the money on some of those drives. So I think he just found his rhythm. It just took him a while to do it. But by then, the game was out of hand. That's complimentary football. They found a rhythm. They had some decent drives later on, but they made some good adjustments and made some plays. But by then, the game was out of hand, and everything was difficult for them offensively. There was nothing really easy. There were a couple of plays they made, big plays, but they had to earn everything from that Texas defense this game, and that's what I like, too. I like that it was a hard-earned, touchdown drive or a hard-earned play or a hard-earned conversion for West Virginia. Nothing seemed easy. And I'll give that credit to Pete Bukowski and the scheme, but also to the guys playing tighter coverage. Linebacker depth dropping in their pass coverage also was a lot more crisp. And I think that's when you notice the passing windows were shrunk a lot. They were a lot smaller than they were in the Texas Tech game.
No, that's progress. Yeah. Rod, that's progress. And that's one of the things that we've talked about that Texas needed to continue to show on defense as they get into this year. I think other than against Texas Tech, you felt like there was progress made. I want to add this, but Mora Ojomo showing back up playing, he made a couple of plays where you're like, okay, he's somebody that, and I mentioned this in my pregame article on InsideTexas.com. Mora Ojomo would have made one play against Texas Tech that may have stopped the drive.
I like that.
I mean, he really may have because they had to go to Jet Bush late in that game because 100 plays is 100 plays. And you at that point in time, you're just trying to pick people off the bench to get them in there. But we mentioned that. So I want to give credit to Morrow because I thought he played another solid game. Alfred Collins did play. Somebody asked about that in the chat. He did play. I do not know. Did you see if Keandre Coburn, Rod, came back into the game after he went out? I thought he got his bell rung a little bit.
When did he go out?
Mid third quarter, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Not that I recollect. But like I said, I'd go back and watch it. I think KJ Coburn, by the way, is playing really well. The interior D linemen have played well, man. Tavondre Sweat, Keandre Coburn, Byron Murphy. That actually had been probably the most consistent part of the defense all year long. Would you say?
Yeah. I think there's no doubt. Real quick, I want to ask you about turnovers and the lack of them for the Longhorns. Before we do that, I want to mention our sponsor at the postgame show, and that's Laura Baker. She is an accomplished Austin realtor with the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. She can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Contact her at laura@andyallenteam.com. Rod, somebody posted on the chat, and it's West Virginia ran 78 plays tonight. Texas Tech ran 100 last week. 178 plays, no turnovers so far in the last two games for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I mean, it's to try to figure out a way to make that or remedy that. I mean, you're getting pressure on the opposing quarterback. You got 44 pressures versus Texas Tech and Donovan Smith pressured him on 50% of his dropbacks. Just saw with our own eyes that you got pressure on JT. Would you have 3 sacks versus West Virginia? That's a weird one, man. That's strange. I always thought ball hawks. Some guys that just had, trust me, I didn't have it. I was not a ball hawk. I played though. I played with the Nathan Basher ball hawk. Guys had it naturally. I mean, it was his. That was the mindset always with him. I do think there are certain players, football players, that have a natural instinct to go the ball. I play with some guys like Derrick Johnson, who would, when he tackled guys, he would tomahawk chop the ball. Like that was something he would do naturally. And then we started practicing it. And then Bull Reese said, hey, you know what? Everybody should be doing that. Everybody should go out there. First guy, wrap him up. Other guys go for the ball. Now you catch it and you can start to practice it and drill it. Hey guys, we need wrap them up. Everybody else go for the ball. You know, for Texas, I think they're just basic. Hey, man, wrap them up and get them to the ground. All right. Instead of trying to go for the ball. But maybe now that needs to be an emphasis. Hey, guys, we need the ball. Not only can you get it down and go to the ground and wrap, but we need somebody else coming in to knock the ball away or jar it loose. And you know, that's something you can practice. But in terms of DBs, I think that's just something that comes natural. You got a ball hawk in your secondary or you don't. Some guys, they have a great way of positioning themselves. They bait quarterbacks. I never baited a quarterback, Bobby. I was too much of a chicken to bait a quarterback. Hell no, I'm getting tight. And if you throw it, I'll have tight coverage. But I knew some guys, they would bait quarterbacks. Nathan Beck would bait a quarterback. Oh, man, I'm going to bait him on this post route. Like, hell no, I'm not baiting. No, I will be locked up. If I'm baiting, I'm beat. I wasn't baiting him, Bobby. I was beat. Right? So I do think, for the interception-wise, in terms of guys getting their hands on the ball, that's something that I think is a more natural. But getting fumbles and fumble recovery, that's something you can practice and drill.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Texas almost lost a onside kick tonight, too. Keelan Robinson, Xavier Worthy totally misplayed that, clearly wasn't ready for that sort of play. But Keelan Robinson bailed him out a little bit. With a heads-up play coming up from the deep position to recover that onside kick. I thought that was pretty impressive by Keelan. We've got about 5 more minutes here. We're going to go for an hour tonight in the postgame. Tomorrow I'll have Justin Wells on. We'll do a rapid reaction for the Longhorn game. And then also we'll have lunch with the coach on Monday with Coach Brian Irwin. He was texting me during the game. He loved he was the one that was telling me, oh, they're flying around on defense. I love it, Rod. he was all about that. I've got to say this. What's interesting, looks like Rod is cut out right now. He's had a problem with his connection all post game. So I'll finish this up. Texas heads to Red River next week. And, you know, as someone that graduated from Texas, went to Texas, worked for the team while I was there, have followed the team for 30 years easily, not including when I was in high school or even junior high or before that. There is no game like Texas OU. There just isn't one. And even if OU is without their starting quarterback, even if Texas is without its starting quarterback, that game is one that I've been to 20 of them. I can recall maybe two or three where it felt like the other team really didn't show up. And so regardless of whether or not Oklahoma lost its starting quarterback and its starting running back, it sounds like possibly, whether or not they gave up 55 points to TCU, this is one of those games where you throw everything out the window next week. Doesn't mean that Texas shouldn't win, because I think that when the lines come out this week, we'll see Texas being favored over OU. But given that, Texas sits here at 3-2. Now they've got OU. They've also got Iowa State next after that at home. Texas could go, theoretically right now, go on a little win streak that they haven't had in 3 years, or 2 years, I guess, since the pandemic season when they won a couple in a row. That all being said, this is a key point in time. This was a big win for Texas and Steve Sarkisian, because it was a game that could have been a trap game a year ago. They lost to a West Virginia team 31-23 a year ago. West Virginia didn't have, they changed quarterbacks, but this quarterback's better than the one they lost. This is a better Texas team this year. They're playing better and more as a team on defense. They're still learning how to be a more explosive offense, but I think maybe even Sark learned a little something about what it takes to move the ball effectively with Hudson Card, and he's done that. He did that tonight. I expect good things in Red River, and it's going to be an 11 o'clock kick, I think, with on Fox Sports. It is the big, I think that's going to be where it's at, but it's the big Fox showdown game that day. Texas needs to come out and put a little something together now. They can't let this just be a one-hit wonder and then go back. I think every Texas fan says the same thing about that. They have it within them to do this. I want to close out and go over the final stat line. The QB rating for Hudson Card tonight, 208. 21 of 27, 303. I thought Steve Sarkisian did a tremendous job of getting him going early. And it wasn't, in the big play realm that he necessarily did it. He got him going with the quick passes to the outside, the little option routes to the running backs, to JT Sanders. He hit a couple of balls, but until he threw that touchdown pass to Xavier Worthy, he really, really hadn't settled in as a pocket passer. He had done some stuff, but not much. He made that play, and then Texas scored on those five consecutive possessions. That is a big deal. Somebody is saying the game is on ABC this year. It may well be. I could be wrong about that, by the way. Devontae Hamilton. I know the Fox Network picked that up, but I think that may have been, I was thinking about, they picked up the Alabama game earlier this year, and I was just, for some reason, having a brain freeze there. Rod is back now. Rod, I'm going to try to bring you back in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. That's okay. Yeah, you've had problems. Hey, it happens to all of us. Rod, the question I have for you is, I started segueing into talking about OU. Okay. And how, no matter, just throw out the records, it doesn't really matter. This game is always a bloodbath to some level. I told people I've probably been to 20 plus of them in my lifetime, and I can think of maybe three that weren't bloodbaths at some level, right? What are your thoughts about Texas heading into OU?
I agree with you about the bloodbath thing. It's a line of scrimmage game, usually what it comes down to, which I like that part of it, right? I think for Texas going into this game, it has a different, a significant purpose. Obviously, it means a lot because of the rivalry and everything. But for Steve Sarkisian, this is where it started last year. This is like where the narrative started about, oh, Texas gets up in games and then they have second half collapse. You want to exorcise the demons about, you know, where Texas is right now and what's haunting the Steve Sarkisian era early on in it. It is that narrative, and that narrative started in that game. You remember it. Steve Sarkisian had the suit on. He was looking clean with the white pants, and the opening script was just amazing. It was just, it made everybody fall in love with Steve Sarkisian. We were infatuated with him already, but after that, we all fell in love and thought, oh man, actually Texas is going to be back a whole lot sooner than we all thought. And then the second half collapsed, and of course we know the rest of it. And I think it's big for Steve Sarkisian, big for the team, not only because it's Texas OU, so it's always big. The magnitude of it is immense. But for him especially, and for this particular team, what has been their biggest issue, what has been their kind of the thing that's haunted them right now, and the narrative about them, it all started in this game. I remember it. You all remember it. And they got to exercise that demon. And you can do it right here. You can do it this week. Perfect opportunity.
I think that's a great point that I hadn't even thought about. It is the same. This is the game last year, Texas OU, when Texas thought they might have something special brewing. And then all of a sudden, it all came crashing down in a half in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. And so this is a big game for the Longhorns coming up. Congrats to Texas for beating West Virginia tonight, 38-20. A strong game behind Hudson Card. Offensive line, running backs played well, wide receivers. I didn't see a single drop except for maybe Xavier Worthy's halftime Hail Mary that's barely out of his grasp.
Did he have that one?
He almost had that one, Rod. He literally almost had him. I think it went off for his fingertips, but he made up for it with a spectacular deflected catch in the end zone to start the third quarter. I tell you what, Rod, I want to close tonight by saying thank you to you, and thanks to everybody sticking with us here at On Texas Football and InsideTexas.com. You've been terrific guest again tonight, Rod. Please listen to his show every week. The Drive Time Show on the Horn 104.9. I want to say I really want to say a heartfelt good luck to CJ Donaldson one more time. I think that we all have a lot of us on here have kids. A lot of us, some of you may be kids. No one ever wants to see that happen. And so I thought it was classy the way Texas fans handled that tonight. At the same time, I am so thankful that we're hearing now that he has movement in his extremities as well. All right, 38-20, Longhorns beat West Virginia. Rod, your singular last thought for tonight.
Hey, Hudson Card, baby. I don't know if Card's going to get another start this year. With Quinn Ewers getting his start probably in the Texas OU game. And I want to say thank you, all right, because he changed the narrative. Now, if you don't like what people are saying, change the conversation. Hudson Card, you changed the conversation, brother.
I think that's a great way to put it. Hudson Card changed the conversation. He was thought of. He lost the starting job to Quinn Ewers. And then, obviously, it all last year kind of went down after losing his job to Casey Thompson and never really coming back. But he showed mettle against Alabama, has done very well ever since. All right. So for Rod Babers, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this issue of the football post, or this episode of the football post game show. Thank you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow. We've got rapid reactions. Also, there are postmortems from Paul Wadlington on Inside Texas, as well as Joe Cook is at the game. He's our beat reporter with quotes and news and notes from head coach Steve Sarkisian, as well as post game thoughts from Ian Boyd, Jerry Hamilton, Justin Wells, and Eric Nalin, publisher of Inside Texas. For Rod Babers and Tommy Yarsh, as well as our producer, Matt Hutchison, I'm Bobby Burton signing off. Thanks for watching.